Okay, I mentioned this last month, and it's kind of a continuation. We were talking about life without limits. That last month was Things Unlimited. And I want to talk to you today about results. As God fills us with His Spirit, what can we expect? What should be the outcome of this? To kind of get you to understand kind of where we're going, think of it this way. If we were here in the Spirit worshiping God and an evil person walked in, would you be able to feel them? Would it feel like toads and lizards and snakes and spiders and, you know? What I want you to understand is when you go out, either to church or in public, people feel God's presence upon you. Now the problem is you don't feel like you have all of that upon you. That's because you live in it. When you live in it, you become accustomed to it. Feeling comes by change. So unless there's a big change, either receiving more of God or sinning and having less of God, there won't be any feeling. Okay? And we, at this stage, we grow in small increments. And they're small enough that we don't actually feel ourselves growing. It's like children, unless you make a mark on the wall. You know, you can't, you know, until Aunt Maud comes in and, my, how you've grown. You know. But normally, if you live with someone every day, you wouldn't see them grow. Okay. Mm-hmm. What God was showing me through all of this is that people can sense the presence of God. You go to Walmart, and I'm talking to different people, and there's a couple over in Illinois, and they said, it's really strange. When we walk in, you know, they just focus on us, you know, the other shoppers. And, you know, she's like, did I forget to comb my hair? And I have a booger in my nose? You know, what are they staring at? And the fact is that they glow with the presence of God. You know, a man and a wife and all of their children. And they just glow in the presence of God. I first became aware of this at the Berean Baptist Church. A missionary who has traveled all over the world, Dr. Dick Carter, is a Southern Baptist, Spirit-filled, moving into gifts of the Spirit, spoke a lot for Full Gospel Businessmen. And he would come to the Berean Baptist Church. He would come in the back door. So you're facing this way. He's coming in the side door behind you. Jesse and I would be like three rows from the front, and you could actually feel him walk in the door. I thought, wow. You know, and this is a Spirit-filled church. You know, and I'm Spirit-filled, and yet I can feel him walk in. But evidently the 40 days of fasting, many times over, praying in tongues 16 hours a day, paid off. Mm-hmm. And the end result was, of course, everywhere he went, people were born again. People miraculously healed. So we can make a difference. Jesus left a trail everywhere he went. There was this talk, there was this presence. After Jesus would pass through, that you could actually follow the trail. If you'd lived there at that time, you would have been able to follow the trail. of where Jesus had been. Not in words, but in power. In other words, we don't always have to be talking to make a difference. If Christianity was only a matter of education or a matter of convincing someone, then we ought to do a lot of talking. But if it is a spirit experience, then we should be able to convey that spirit experience before we ever say anything. They should notice that there's something different. I know in talking to you, you've all had these kind of experiences where people have walked up to you and just started a conversation. You know, and it's like, you ought to be talking to God. You know, but the fact is they are. They're talking to you because they sense the Spirit of God upon you. And it will be your job then to respond in behalf of God to speak to them and meet their need. Okay, so it is by demonstration. Okay, Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Of course, you read these verses and it's like, oh, that's nice. I need to go into my closet and shut the door. What if you knew that God was going to reward you openly? You're going to go into the closet, you're going to shut the door, and you're going to pray, and you're not going to tell anyone what you prayed. And then you go out, and they tell you how God answered the prayer, and you never told them that you prayed. One of the things I'm having a lot of fun with is, of course, we're in a Baptist church, New Beginnings. That's a Southern Baptist church. And they're very open to worship, very open to the things of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and all of that. And so it's a very lively worship to begin with. And what I'll do is I'll wait in somewhere. I don't choose the same time every time. But I kind of pick a time, and I begin to pray. And I say, Jesus, I want you to come into this meeting. I want you to come into this house and manifest your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you to come right now. And it is amazing that the music will just increase. They're not turning up the volume, but just everything. And you look at the faces of the worshipers, and all of a sudden there's this light, you know. And now all of a sudden the congregation is activated. Yeah. And it's a marvelous thing. And I've had Jesse kind of going like, and then when I get through, she'll say, did you feel that? And it's the result of praying. Now, there's music going on, so no one's hearing me pray. Oh. And I'm not praying, oh, Jesus! You know, they can't hear me because I'm lower. My volume is lower than the music. And I'm just asking. I think I've shared with you, Cal and Joanne Taylor were at the Methodist Church, and they were talking to me one day, and they said, oh, Wayne, I don't know how much longer we can keep going. The services are so dry, and we're just not getting anything out of it. And of course, I looked at him and I said, "That's your fault." "Our fault? How could it be our fault?" And I said, "Let me give you an assignment, give you a homework." I told him to set the second row back off to the side. And I said, "Now when the preacher starts preaching one of his dry sermons, what I want you to do is I want you to start praying in tongues. I don't want you moving your lips. I don't want him to have any clue that you're praying in tongues, and you can do that. It's not going to be any volume to the extent that he can hear you." And I said, "Watch what happens." And they began to do that. And I forget who all was with them. I think it was like a whole, I've never been in the Methodist Church. I think they took up that whole second pew. So anyway, as they began to pray, the preacher fired. And he started preaching. And when he got done, he walked right straight to them. He said, "I don't know what happened to me up there, but I haven't preached like that since I was a teenager." So there was a funeral that afternoon, and they decided to go to the funeral because he was going to be preaching the funeral and to see if it would happen again. And they went to the funeral, and he, you know, they prayed in tongues, and he fired again. So praying in secret, but then seeing something actually happen.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. See, seeing that there is an actual moving, working of the Spirit of God because you prayed.
That's good.
See. Spirit of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1, 18 through 20. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Wouldn't that be something? To have Christ magnified in our bodies. If they want to kill me, if they want to chop my head off like they have the news reporters, that's fine with me. But they're going to experience God in a mighty way while they're doing it. Yeah. We read in church history how many people were born again by watching Christians burned at the stake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way they worshiped caused people to know that there was a living God. Philippians, this book of Philippians, was the last book that Paul wrote before he died. And he is saying, "You're praying for me, and I am receiving a greater measure of the Spirit of Christ." They said of the disciples, they could tell that they'd been with Jesus. They didn't have to say anything. People could actually tell that they had been with Jesus. And they can tell that you have been with Jesus. Now, all this is to encourage you to don't think all this just spending time with the Lord is a waste of time. Going into your closet, if you spend an hour praying in tongues, an hour in the Word, an hour worshiping, whatever, it's not a waste of time. No. Because more and more and more of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Of course, the scripture says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So we all start out by being born again, or by being born from above, actually receiving a portion of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But that's not the end of it. You can receive more and more and more and more of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and He will change you, as the scripture says, from glory to glory. Glory being the recognizable reality of God's presence. So you will be changed, and people will recognize that there is a difference. So I love it. I just go in and I spend time every day. I just want to be in His presence. I don't have a routine. Not that routines are bad. It's good to have disciplines that get you going. But there's a place where you have to leave off the disciplines, where you enter in and you just let God lead the conversation. You let God lead the whole thing. And I'll just sit there. And God will tell me what to pray about, who to pray for, how to pray. He'll teach me scriptures, all these teachings that I teach you, I've just received from Him just sitting there. And I'll reach over. Sometimes I'll ask, I say, well, what are we talking about today? What are we going to visit about? And I'll just sit there, and there won't be anything, just total blank. Okay, I'll just sit here and enjoy Your presence. Pretty soon He starts talking, and I start writing. So people can feel the presence of Jesus Christ. Christianity is more than going to church, paying your tithes, and singing the songs, and going out trying to get people to come to church. You know, Christianity is this wonderful, wonderful infilling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10 says that Jesus was filled bodily with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you too, verse 10, are filled with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now I have a problem. I can't go anywhere without God. I can't go anywhere. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Wherever I go, He's there. Okay, the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's life-giving. It's amazing how many times, I know you guys have experienced these things. I remember one time I was at Clinton. I was taking my car into the Chevy dealer to get some work done on it. And I spoke to one of the head of the shop foreman or whatever. And I just spoke a word to him as I was passing by him. I didn't think a thing about it. And went ahead, checked my car in, left, and went back in the evening to pick it up. And he said, Wayne, you will never know what that word did for me all day today. You know, and I'm trying to, like, what did I say? It doesn't matter. because it was by the Spirit. But can we make a difference by just speaking the right word in that moment? Remember, it's not your word, it's His word meeting a need. And we call that anointing. Power meeting need. Word meeting need. That's anointing. Okay. So he received it as an anointed word. Changed his day. Now we experience this because as we read the Bible, you read, and you're just reading. And then all of a sudden there's that verse. And it just makes your day, just changes you. You are now full of those words. And you can speak words that will make the difference in someone's day. What makes this so much fun is that you can be totally at ease with everything I'm going to be sharing with you. It's not a matter of going around trying to do these things. If you try to do it, you'll ruin it. It's like trying to witness to someone. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know you're going to go to hell if you don't? You know, your muscles all get tight. And, you know. To me, witnessing is just telling people what Jesus has done for me. And I'm totally at ease with that. See? Okay. The Spirit of God, John 6:33. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Good information there. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So you and I are filled with words of life. Words of abundant life. Words of blessing, words of encouragement, words of faith. We're just full of it. I love walking into a crowd, not having any idea who I'm going to be talking to. And then I get assignments, and I just go from, a lot of times it's just from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and speak. Because when I speak, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They're full of life. The Word of God is alive. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. There again, you'll get in trouble because you won't be speaking more words. You'll be speaking less words. What if every word you spoke all of a sudden started coming to pass? How much of your conversation would be eliminated? Driving through St. Louis last month, the end of the month, and a lady changed lanes, come right in my lane and banged in my car. I pulled off to the side and she pulled off to the side. I don't know what she was expecting. But what if I would have said, "You stupid idiot." And what if she had become a stupid idiot? Yeah. Go jump in the lake. Yeah. And there they go. See. Go fly a kite. What if our words started to come to pass? If we're going to speak these kinds of words, then we have to watch our conversation. If you don't, you can destroy a lot of things and people. So we have to think about the words that we're speaking. And the way we do that is to live in the Word and live in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit then will speak through you. Those words that are going to make a difference. Okay, Jude 1, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that that's in reference to speaking in tongues. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What if we really thought that praying in tongues would cause an increase of faith and an increase of the awareness of the love of God? Would that make a difference in how long you spent praying in tongues? And would that make a difference when you came out of the closet and began to mingle with people? See, that's our part, is to mingle with the people. It's not our part to go out and change people, because that'll make you all tense. So when I'm out here mingling among the people, and I am blessing them or praying for them or whatever I'm doing, I'm actually ministering to God the same as I did in the closet. And if I minister to God and I reach out to them, then God sends a hot wire down and confirms it. But you have to go back to the closet. For Jesus, it wasn't an actual closet, but a mountain. He'd go up to the mountain all by himself and to spend that time with the Father. And I don't think they were discussing the events of the following day. I don't believe, according to scriptures, I don't believe that God said, okay, today you're going to do this and this and this and this. Now get yourself ready. Why? Because Jesus' own words were, I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. I think he just spent time in conversation with the Father. No telling what they were talking about. But when he went out in the street, down in the valley, he was full of words and he was full of spirit. And he had everything the people needed. Kept his eyes on the Father. See, and I know I've told you this many times, but we're not a need-oriented people. We are a Father-oriented people. If you start looking at needs, you'll get discouraged. If you will look at the Father, you will meet needs. Okay. Fasting, Matthew 17:21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I can always see the different results of when I spend more time fasting as opposed to when I spend less time fasting. And many of your newer translations will actually say that that wasn't in the original text. But I can tell you by personal experience, I can't do without it. Many of you have probably heard of David Hogan or maybe even been in his meetings. But David Hogan, when he first went on the mission field, he fasted every other day. And he said, there is no way, because of the demonic activity, there's no way I can minister or even exist without fasting. You fast, and then when you come in contact with the enemy, with the satanic or the demonic, you have total authority and power over them. I never, ever have to fear demonic powers. And you can actually see the results. You go into your closet. You're fasting in secret. Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And Jesus would always say, don't tell anyone. See? And he wasn't, that wasn't like a command because they, you know, they went ahead and told. So what was he, he was saying, I'm doing this as unto my Father. This is a secret thing that we're doing here. How does all of this work? Well, the fact is it works. When you say to that demon, in the name of Jesus, get out. Go to the dry places. I bind you there. And they leave. Every once in a while I have them argue with me, but most of the time they're very cooperative. They don't stick around. Because they know they're defeated. But we have that because we have been fasting in secret. And God is rewarding us openly. Matthew 6:18, that was just what I was talking about. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What if we believe that? See, I always read the Bible with, what if I really believed that? What if I really did that? And of course, watching the people who have spent the time in fasting and prayer and watch their lives, watch what they're able to accomplish for the kingdom, convince me. Okay, the next one is lifting holy hands, Matthew 24:50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted his hands and blessed them. What if just lifting our hands would end up being a blessing? What if we could just lift our hands and something would happen? What if we lifted our hands? I remember after I resigned pastorate in Holt, we went over to the Baptist church there in north of Kearney, Southern Baptist Church, and they decided that they were going to have a worship service one Sunday evening a month. They'd never had this before. And so they decided they were going to do that. So Jesse and I were real thrilled, and we went over, and we sat quite a ways back in the service, and the place was pretty well packed out. I really didn't think anything about it. It's real automatic with me, but as they began to worship and sing these worship songs, I lifted my hands up. Jesse lifted her hands up. I didn't feel a thing. I was just enjoying the Lord. A guy came down out of the choir afterwards. He said, my. He said, when you and Jesse lifted your hands, he said, it was like this great rush of the Spirit came up on stage. What if just lifting our hands could make a difference?
Psalms 134 says, raise your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Blesses the Lord, he's happy with us.
Yes. And what if it became a blessing to the people?
Amen.
What if we could make a difference? Just something as simple as raising our hands. Just because you don't feel anything doesn't mean that you're not making an impact on the meeting. Doesn't mean you're not making a difference. And of course, a lot of that will depend on the fasting and prayer too before you go in, or how much time you spend in His presence. All these things weigh in. But remember from the other two teachings, there is no limit. There is no limit. So it's not like, you know, well, if you prayed in tongues for an hour a day, and then the next day you decide to go for an hour and a half, it probably wouldn't do any more good than the hour did. The hour and a half will make a lot more difference than the hour did, and the 2 hours and the 6 hours and so forth. It is without limit. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Lifting up these holy hands unto the Lord. Nehemiah 8:6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while they lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they lifted their hands. You think that made a difference in Israel? I think it did. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. What if in the evening, instead of watching television, we just spent some time with our hands lifted up as an evening sacrifice unto the Lord? You think it might make a difference? You think the next day when you go out that it would make a difference? The people that you come in contact with, that it would make a difference, that you would have an impact? I think so. Laying on of hands. Acts 5:12. And through the laying on of hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. You think maybe it would make a difference if we laid hands on people? I do this a lot without making a big to-do about it. When I'm talking to people, sometimes I'll just reach over and just touch them while I'm talking to them. There is an impartation. I don't feel anything leaving me and going into them, but they feel, because they tell me, wow, I felt, you know, something leaving you and coming into me. So by the laying on of hands, here again, we don't make a religion of this. This isn't something we're running around trying to, I'm going to lay hands on you. In fact, as the scripture says, lay hands on no man suddenly.
That's right.
So we're guided by the Spirit. Acts 6, kind of coming in the middle here, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. There was an impartation. Acts 8:17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, he followed when Jesus said, now you go to him. What would have happened if he'd have gone the day before? Acts 14:3. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So there's going to be signs and wonders. Many marvelous things are going to be done by the laying on of hands. God showed me many years ago, and I shared with some of you, maybe four of you, I don't know who was there at the time, 30 years ago or whatever, but God showed me that the end time will be just like living the book of Acts backward. In other words, it started with Pentecost, and it went, of course, went on out, many wonderful years, and then the Dark Ages, and then coming out of the Dark Ages into Enlightenment, the spread of the gospel, and the end will be just like the beginning. And when we get back to Pentecost, we're out of here. So everything you see in the book of Acts will be increased in the last days. We know it by two ways. One, because the scripture says so, and the other, because it talks about the Antichrist, the beast, and all of that. They're going to convince people with great signs and wonders. And they're going to be counterfeiting the good. You can't counterfeit something unless there's a real first. Only a real $1 bill can be counterfeited. If you have a dollar and a half bill, you can't counterfeit it. You can only counterfeit something that's already in existence, that's real. Acts 19:6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Acts 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. God is going to be doing mighty miracles. And you know, it's, I mean, this is nothing new. You read Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, and T.L. Osborne, any number of men and women that have done mighty miracles by their hands. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now that's not just a confirming them or whatever. This is an actual impartation. There can be an impartation of the gifts of the Spirit by the laying on of hands. Okay, peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When people come to your house, and I know unless you've been out in some pretty bad stuff and go home, you probably don't feel like your house is that full of peace. When people come to my house, even before they get in the door, they can feel the peace of God. I know I've shared this with you, but how many times we've had them come in. Sometimes they'll sit on the couch and just instantly go to sleep. Some of them will just lay down on the floor and go to sleep. When they wake up and they'll say, I have never felt such peace in all of my life. Can we make a difference? My peace I give to you. Can you give something away if you don't have it? If he has it, then we ought to know about it. This true peace, this real peace. Why? Because there are going to be those that are going to say peace and safety. And it's going to be this counterfeit peace. not going to be real. As a matter of fact, it leads to greater bondage. But Jesus has the victory. And Jesus has real peace. And he can give it to you.
And comes to your place where there is peace. They don't want to be there.
That's right.
They will not. We have had someone tell us that.
Yep.
I cannot be there.
I cannot come in your house.
Yeah. We have had someone tell us that. Yeah.
And remember when Jesus sent out the 70, he said, go to the house and say, peace be to this house. Mm-hmm. If they accept it, if the peace remains, go in and stay there. But if it doesn't, shake the dust off of your feet. See, and of course, I'm sure that in with 70 going out, they experienced that. And yes, we've had the same thing, that people cannot come in. And of course, it said of the early disciples, as they became one in the Spirit, it said, and the world dare not join themselves to them.
It's uncomfortable here, she said.
Yep.
I said, why? And they said, it's just too peaceful.
Yep.
Too peaceful.
Yeah, we were out fishing on the lake one time, and the guy said, how do you stand this? How can you take it? Yeah. I said, what are you talking about? I thought he was miserable. Mm-hmm. I guess he was.
Yeah.
They said, it's too peaceful.
Yeah.
Luke 10:5, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Okay, the last one we have there is presence. And I guess it's what this whole thing has been about tonight, but kind of culminating all of this, you are the presence of God. You are the body of Christ. And the more you are in his presence, the greater the essence of that presence. The fragrance of Christ is going to exude from you no matter where you are, out in public or in church. John 14, verses 9 through 11, Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. When Chris came a while ago, over to Nelson and Janie's house, I asked him how he was doing, and I asked him how Jesus was doing the last time he talked to him. And he's kind of shocked him.
Yeah.
And then he answered. But many times when I walk up to someone, and they'll say, Wayne, it's good to see you. And I'll say, yes, it's good to see you. I get to see you and Jesus at the same time. I get to see you and Jesus. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've already seen the Father. See? When they see you, they get to see Jesus all at the same time. And by the way, they get to see the Father too. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, not quoted this a while ago. For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. And we're walking around on planet Earth, filled with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has all power and all authority. See, the problem is we don't know who we are.
Yeah.
We don't know all that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we can't see how great the results would be if we just started being filled more and more and more with the Spirit. There is no limit. There's no limit. God doesn't give His Spirit by measure. There's no measure. And so God is going to equip us for these end times. God's doing great things.